Chapter 12, book of Hebrews chapter 12. You remember last time we began looking at this passage of scripture and began noting how that the Christian life is likened to a race. How the Christian life is likened to a race, and you remember we said that it's an amazing race. And the text that we began with in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse number 1, we saw where it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." And so in our study of this text, we begin talking about, first of all, the race. Number one, we begin talking about the race. We talked about the people that are involved in the race. You remember there are two that are involved in the race. First of all, there are the runners. And we saw how that this is speaking to every child of God. All of us are running the race that God has for us. Some run better than others. Some are swifter than others. Some will finish well. Some may not finish so well. But we're all in a race. We're all in a race. The race that God has set for us. And so we talked about how every child of God is a participant in this race. But then we also talked about the spectators who are watching the race. And we talked about that great cloud of witnesses. And of course, we do not know exactly who that cloud is witnesses is composed of, but we mentioned three things that I think would be absolutely true. First of all, I believe that in that cloud of witnesses we would have to say God is there, don't you think? He's watching. He's certainly watching over us, watching how we run the race. I also believe, you remember we said angels are watching us. And we divided that into two different groups. First of all, I believe that the holy angels are watching us. You remember we saw in the Bible that the angels are ministering spirits who minister to those who are heirs of salvation. And so certainly the angels of God are watching over us. But not only that, I believe the fallen angels are also watching and looking for opportunities where they can cause us to trip, stumble, fall, and seeing how they can wreck all kinds of havoc in our lives. And so I believe that the fallen angels are also a part of that cloud of witnesses who are watching over us. And then, of course, we also spoke of how that the saints are watching us. First of all, those in heaven are watching us. In fact, you go back and you read there in chapter 11 and you have that listing of those Old Testament saints, and then you come to chapter 12 verse number 1 and it begins with wherefore. In other words, going back to what came previously, wherefore, because they're up there in heaven, they're watching, let's run the race. And so we talked about the saints in heaven that are watching, and then of course there are saints on the earth who are watching us. Saints on the earth who are watching us. Whether you realize it or not, you're the best Christian somebody knows. Think about that. You're the best Christian somebody knows. And how you run the race that God has set before you may well determine how they do in their relationship with God. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's paying attention to how you run. Need to run carefully. They're watching. They're watching. And then we saw the admonition. We saw the admonition, number two. And we began, letter A there, we began with the admonition to lay aside every weight. That's talking about those things that hinder us from running the race that God would have for us to run. And there were four weights that we mentioned. We mentioned unforgiven sin can hinder us in the race. It's like a weight that hinders us from running well. An undedicated life can hinder us from running well the race that God has for us. Ungodly habits can hinder us from running well the race that we ought to run for the Lord Jesus Christ. An unimportant cares. That's when we become so focused on the temporary things of the world that we forget about the eternal things of God. Things that really don't matter. They're not really important in the scheme of eternity. Those things then become weights that hinder us from running well the race that God has for us to run. So we talked about how that we're to lay aside every weight. But now we're going to continue. We're going to continue by noticing three other admonitions. Three other admonitions that are given to us in the Scriptures. And so let's begin by noticing letter B, as you follow along in your notes there. We need to not only lay aside the weights, but we need to conquer the besetting sin. We need to conquer the besetting sin. Verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now notice the wording here. It's very important. When we read the Scriptures, a lot of times we tend to read too quickly. A lot of times we're guilty of just sort of skimming over. And we really don't pay attention to what the words are saying. And therefore we miss the truth that God wants to communicate to us. It's important we pay attention to the words. And so the grammar makes it very clear when we notice how this thing is worded. It's interesting to notice that there are many weights in our life. That's kind of obvious. Lay aside the weights. Lay aside every weight, right? Lay aside, there's many of them. There's many weights that we have to deal with. But, look at it very carefully. There is only one sin. It's called the sin that easily besets. That's interesting, isn't it? There's many weights, but there's one sin. There's one particular sin that is so easily besetting all of us and hindering us from running the race that we ought to run. Now, to understand what that besetting sin is, we need to remember the context. Remember, everything is based on context, right? We need to remember the context. And the context, Hebrews chapter 11, is talking about these great men whose lives were characterized by their walk of, what is it? Somebody said it, huh? Faith, right. All of these men listed in Hebrews 11, their lives are characterized by their walk of faith. Therefore, the one sin that easily besets all of us is the sin of faithlessness. No faith. The Apostle Paul spoke of this very thing in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 23, when the Apostle Paul said this. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is what? It's sin. That's a powerful statement if you stop and think about it. Whatsoever is not of faith, it's sin. In other words, whatever I do, depending in my own strength, depending in my own ability, instead of depending on God, that's faith, depending on God. So whatever I do in my own strength and my own ability, not depending on God, whatever it is I've done, that's sin. If I stand up here and preach, and I have not first prayed and asked for God's help, and for God's power and for God's blessing, for God's help. Confessing my own inability and trusting in His ability. Even though my sermon may be theologically sound and homiletically perfect. But now would be a good time for somebody to say, amen, Pastor. Even though it may be all of those things, if I preach that sermon depending on the flesh instead of depending on God, I have sinned in my preaching. That's a pretty powerful verse, isn't it? Whatsoever is not of faith. That's sin. That's sin. That's why the Bible also says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, very clear, very clear, but without faith it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. You see, faith is simply a total dependence on God, trusting in Him for everything. We understand that in the matter of salvation. When it comes to our salvation, it simply means that we put our faith and trust completely in Him, not trusting in any good work that we can do, but simply trusting in what Christ has done for us. And that same truth that brought about our salvation now applies to every area of our life. Every day we live. Regardless of where you work, regardless of what you do, regardless of all of those other things that may play a part in your daily life, whatever you do, in your own strength and in your own power, without seeking God's blessing, without seeking God's wisdom, without seeking God's power, it's sin. And yet, that is so easy, isn't it?
Amen.
It's so easy. I mean, after all, you know, I've got training, and I've been doing this for all these years, and man, I know my job, and I don't need to ask anybody's help. I just, I get in there, and I can do it. And we don't even think of asking God. We don't even think of depending on God. And then we wonder why, when things go to pieces in the workplace, we go to pieces right behind it. It's because we're depending on ourselves instead of depending on God. So the sin that so easily besets us, the sin that so easily besets every one of us, is our own sin of faithlessness, which in reality is actually a product of another sin that so easily besets, and the two go hand in hand, and that's pride. That's pride. We can live the Christian life, we can serve God, our own strength, our own power, and we forget that truth that Jesus gave in John chapter 15 and verse 5 when He said, without Me, you can do nothing. Without Me, you can do nothing. We cannot live for God in our own strength and power. I read one time where someone said it very well. They said, the Christian life is not difficult. The Christian life, it's not difficult, it's impossible. If you're trying to do it in your own strength and in your own power, it is impossible. It is impossible. We cannot serve God in our own strength. Now, Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that's why after the Lord gave His great commission to the apostles, He commanded them in Luke 24, verse number 49, He said, behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. That promise of the Father was the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send that to you, but tarry tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So the sin that easily besets us, it's the same for all of us. The sin that so easily besets us, it's the same for all of us. And it's to think that we have within ourselves the ability to serve God and to please God. That's the besetting sin. That's the besetting sin. And the truth is, it's only when we yield ourselves to God by faith and allow Him to control our lives that we're actually able to please God in the things that we do. That's why the Apostle Paul said it this way in Ephesians 5:18. He said, "Be not drunk with wine." That means don't be controlled by intoxicating drink. Be not drunk with wine. No Christian should be controlled by wine. What's he to be controlled with? Well, just as no believer is to be drunk with wine, every believer is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And so instead of trusting in our own abilities, our own talents, our own strengths, instead of falling into that besetting sin that naturally plagues us all, we need to learn to live, we need to learn to walk in full dependence on God. We need to understand the besetting sin. We need to lay aside the weights. We need to conquer the besetting sin. And then let us see, we need to maintain the right discipline. We need to maintain the right discipline. In verse number 1, back in Hebrews chapter 12 now, in the last part of the verse, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If you've ever watched a race, there are several different kinds of runners. But those who run well, are those who have one thing in common. Those who run well, those who consistently finish well, they all have one thing in common. And that is simply that they are disciplined in the way they run. They're disciplined in the way they run. Let me mention a couple of things here that require discipline. First of all, if we're going to run well, we need discipline in our style. We need discipline in our style. In every race, you will observe, usually you will observe three types of runners. You can see it in almost every race. There'll be three types of runners who are in the race. There are those that we might call, first of all, I couldn't think of a good name, so I just called them hot doggers. Because they take off and everybody says, "Wow, hot dog, look at him go." You know, they're hot doggers. In other words, these are the ones that as soon as the starter's pistol is fired, they are out of the blocks like they were just blown out of a cannon. I mean, boom, and they are gone. And everybody says, "Whoo, hot dog, look at him go. Look at him go." They fly to the front of the pack. They set an unrealistic pace. They set an unrealistic pace, and they will soon, you watch them, they will soon tire, and you'll notice everybody else goes zoom, 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 right by them, and they're right? Yeah. Hot dog. Boy, they started well. Crash and burn. Hot doggers. Then there are those who are, I guess we could call them foolish dreamers. They're foolish dreamers. The starter's pistol is fired, and they're out of the blocks. And their idea is, "I'm going to play cool, you know. I'm going to play cool. I'm going to hang back a little bit. And then when we get near to the finish line, then I'm going to get my kick." You ever hear runners talk about their kick? Yeah? I tried jogging the other day, and I felt like somebody was kicking me in the chest. But anyway, they're talking about they're going to get their kick. And so what they do is they're lagging back, and they're just and they're waiting for that last lap, and then they're going to get their kick. And they think, I've got enough kick. I'm good enough. As soon as I get, I'm going to go right to the front, and I'm going to win this thing. I'll be the dark horse coming out from behind. Foolish dreamer. Foolish dreamer. Because you see, they've lagged so far behind that when it comes time to make the kick, there's no way they can catch up. It's a foolish dream. Foolish dream. And then there are those, I guess we could call them true sportsmen. True sportsmen. Starter's pistol is fired. They're out of the blocks. But they wisely pace themselves. They wisely pace themselves. In fact, normally you'll see them running in what is called a pack. And they're just pacing themselves. They're just pacing themselves. And they're not rushing way ahead, and they're not lagging way behind. They're just pacing themselves. They're just pacing themselves. Patiently running a smart race. So that when they come to just about the third turn, then you see them begin to kick, and you begin to see them as they make their final sprint toward the finish line. That's a good runner. That's one who runs with patience the race that is set before him. Those who run with patience are those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they run as they are led and as they are directed by that Holy Spirit that indwells them. They don't rush ahead of Him. They don't lag behind Him. They just pace themselves. And as He moves, they move. When He kicks, they kick. They're in step. They're in step with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Wise runner. Wise runner. There is a discipline. There's a discipline in style. But not only that, there's a discipline in focus. Those who are going to run well have to be disciplined. And they have to have a discipline in their focus. It's vitally important. Because no matter how fast you are, and no matter how effective your running style may be, if you lose your focus, you ever seen somebody running a race? Boy, they're running, and all of a sudden they start doing this. They won't see where everybody else is, right? They won't see where those other, you know. You know what? Try this something. No, don't try this. You'll hurt yourself. Just watch somebody that's running, and then look over their shoulder. You know what's impossible to do when you're running, looking over your shoulder? It's impossible to run in a straight line. If you look over this shoulder, you know what you're going to do? Right turn. You look over this shoulder, you're going to go that way. And here's the thing. When you're running a race, if you don't keep your eyes straight ahead, if you don't stay focused on the goal, you start looking around to see what this guy's doing, what that guy's doing, what somebody else is doing. You're always looking around at other people so you can judge yourself by how they're doing. And the problem is, when you start doing that, you know what happens? You're going to run out of your lane. And when you're running a race and you cross over the lane line and you get into somebody else's lane, you know what that means? That means immediately you are disqualified. You're disqualified. You're out of the race. You're done. You're done. That's why the Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. The Apostle Paul said, "We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they," notice it, "measuring themselves," how? "By themselves." By themselves. "And comparing themselves among themselves." In other words, they're always looking over their shoulder. They want to see how this one's doing and how that one's doing and how far am I in front of that one or that one. And they're always looking over their shoulder, comparing themselves among themselves. What did Paul say about them? They are not wise. they are not wise. To win the prize, to win the gold medal, the wise runner knows that he or she must keep focused on the finish line, or they're going to get out of the way, and they're going to lose the race, and they're going to be disqualified from the prize. And that's the very thing we find in verse number 2. As we run with patience the race that is set before us, look where our focus ought to be. Verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. When we begin looking at one another, comparing ourselves with one another, it's always going to cause us to get out of the way. Because have you ever noticed that we never focus on those that are running in front of us, we always focus on those that we're running in front of. In other words, we always want to see how much better we are than the other guy. If we compare ourselves among ourselves, invariably, we're going to want to compare ourselves to somebody that in our pride we already know, I'm better than he is, I know. Surely I'm better than them. Yeah, look how much better I am. I mean, you know. And that gives us a false impression of ourself. You want to know what you're really like? Boy, that's a non-committed crowd right there, boy. I tell you what. You want to know what you're really like? And everybody's going... I'll tell you anyway. You want to know what you're really like? Instead of looking at other people, look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. He is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. Look unto Him who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you're going to run well, we need to stay focused on the Savior. If we fail to keep our focus on Christ, we will always wander out of the way that God has chosen for us to run. In fact, it's interesting. You read the book of Galatians. That's exactly what happened to the churches in Galatia. Did you know that? That's exactly what happened. That's why the Apostle Paul, he wrote back in Galatians 5:7, he said, "Ye did run well." Boy, you got saved and you started off on this Christian race, and boy, you did well. But then Paul asked a question. He said, "Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Started out well. Started out running. Boy, you were doing great. But who hindered you? In other words, who pulled your focus away from Christ to something else? Or to someone else? Who hindered you? You started well. Started well. But who hindered you so that you couldn't run like you should? Who hindered you? And you study the book of Galatians, you'll find that the problem was simply that they turned their eyes from Christ. And in the case of the Galatians, they began following after false teachers instead of staying focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a fourth thing I want us to notice. If we're going to finish well, we need to observe all the rules. Letter D. We need to observe all the rules. Years ago when Ginger and I were in Korea, back in 1988, the Olympics was coming to Korea. They were going to be hosting the Olympics there in the city of Seoul. And boy, they were doing all kinds of things. They were renovating a lot of the old shopping areas because they would have all these international tourists come in. They moved all of the dog restaurants off the main roads onto the back roads because they didn't want all these international tourists coming in and say, "Oh, they eat dog here," you know, and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, they were doing all this stuff to get ready. By the way, eating dog, there's nothing wrong with it. I ate dog and it didn't bother me at all. But anyway, they were getting ready for the Olympics to come. And it was during those games that all of the focus on the world was going to be on the 100-yard dash. And it was during the 100-yard dash, there was a huge rivalry that was going on during that in that race. And the rivalry was between two runners. One of them was named Carl Lewis from the U.S., and the other was named Ben Johnson from Canada. And Johnson had pulled a hamstring during a race. He had pulled a hamstring back in February of 1988. And then when the two ran against each other in Zurich, Switzerland in August of that year, Lewis, he naturally won the race easily. Johnson was injured. So Lewis won the race. And Carl Lewis, after the race was run, Carl Lewis was quoted. Here's what he said. He said, "The gold medal for the 100 meters is mine. It's mine. I got it sewed up. It's mine. I will never," here's what he said, "I will never again lose to Johnson." That was the rivalry. That was the rivalry. On September the 24th, 1988, Johnson broke the world record. He broke the world record by running 100 meters in 9.79 seconds. Takes me that long to get off the couch. 9.79 seconds. He ran the 100 meters and won the gold medal. Lewis finished in second place. But you know the story. 3 days later, Johnson was disqualified. He was stripped of his gold medal that he had won. And he was shamed and humiliated when a urine sample revealed that he had been using illegal steroids to enhance his running ability. And so he lost the gold medal, and it was then passed to Carl Lewis. Here's the point. Here's the point. No matter how fast we may be, no matter how talented, no matter how gifted we may be, no matter how smart and intelligently we may run the race that God has put before us, if we don't follow the rules, folks, we're going to get disqualified. We're going to be disqualified. And that same principle is so very clearly seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and following. The Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize." One receives the prize. "So run," Paul said, "that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." You know, sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes our body just naturally does not want to do right. Have you ever noticed that? Just this morning, my clock went off. I don't know why it is. Sunday morning, I'm always sleeping better than any other day of the week. You got that same problem? Boy, it just, oh yes. Felt so good. I didn't want to get up. But somebody had to preach today, and I knew Brother David wasn't ready. There comes times when you just have to take control of your flesh and say, you know what? I know this isn't what you want to do, but this is what we're going to do because this is what God said. I don't always wake up feeling like, oh boy, well great, I get to go to church today. Sometimes I wake up and say, oh man, church again? Boy, I shouldn't have told you that. Now you're going to kind of look down at me and say, boy, we sure do have a sorry pastor, don't we? Yes, you do. Okay, there. Paul said, I keep under my body. I don't let my body control me. I don't let my body, my flesh, my desire, I don't let those things control me. I control them. See, that's the difference between a winner and a loser. That's the difference between a winner and a loser. Paul said, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. Now notice the reason why he does that. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what that means, literally? You know what that means, literally? Simply means, Paul said, I don't want to preach to others and then find that I myself have been disqualified. Don't want to be disqualified. Want to run well. And if we're going to glorify God in our life, and if we're going to win the prize that He has for us, then we must run our race according to the rules that have been set. Where are they? Right here. They're right here. This is the rule book that God has given us. This is how we're to run. And if we're going to win the prize that God has for us, then we need to run according to the rule. That's why John in 2 John verse number 8. In 2 John verse number 8, John said, look to yourselves. That means pay attention to yourself. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things that we have wrought. What does that mean? It simply means that we're to be careful so that we are not disqualified and all of the good running that we've done before is done for naught. Think about it. You can run well the whole way until the last few meters, and you step out of the line and you're disqualified, and all of the good running that came before wins you what? It wins you nothing. There's no reward for being disqualified. Whether you're disqualified in the beginning or the end, doesn't matter. You're disqualified. No reward for that. And so John said, look out for yourself. Be careful. Pay attention. So that you do not lose the things that have been wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Run according to the rules. Run according to the rules. As a child of God, all of us are in a race. We're in a race that God has designed for us to run. He set the time limit. We're running against the clock. From the day of our salvation to the day He calls us home, we're to run the race that He has for us. May God help you to run well. To run well. May God help you to run smart. May God help you to run honestly, obeying the rules, obeying the rules. So that in that day when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we'll be able to receive that eternal reward that eternal prize that God has for those who run well and finish the race that has been set before them. Let me ask you this afternoon, just looking into your own heart, looking into your own life, how are you running? How are you running? May God help us to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon for your word. We pray that you